I'm comedian Timmy Boyle, and this is the greatest live Instagram comedy experience that nobody knew about. March of 2020, I just arrived home from tour when COVID-19 shut down the world. So despite being severely technically challenged, I started a daily live Instagram show right here from my living room. Because how hard could it be? And how long could a pandemic last? Apparently longer than 5 months. So now, 100 episodes later, I've called comedians as diverse in experience as they are in style from all around the world to discuss comedy, life, and, well, whatever. I had no goals, which was a great idea. I avoided tech checks, which was a bad idea. And I eventually wore no pants. The jury's still out on that one. And my OJ, over 150 days, transformed from refreshing drink to rancid mystery liquid right before our eyes. It was a random, free-flowing, hilariously messy ride into the minds and backstage lives of entertainers where anything could happen, and did, including a trip to a goat farm. Overcoming a lack of direction, resources, and tech ineptness, as well as multiple zombie cyber attacks, a project not expected to last even a week soon developed into a must-watch show like no other. But don't take my word for it. See for yourself, right here, on another episode of Calling Comedians in Quarantine. Is that it? Did we get it all? Awesome. Well, it is 7 o'clock here on another day in quarantine. Welcome to those that are coming in. Mary Jane Baker, Robert Beckham, thanks for coming in tonight, spending your Friday evening with me here in my living room from your living rooms, or maybe from your kitchens, or maybe from your bathrooms. I don't know. Maybe this is your personal quiet time. And you've closed the door and you've told your family, just, I'm not feeling well. And then you're just sitting in the bathroom and you're got your earphones on and you're watching this show. I don't know. I'm not here to judge you, but that could be what's happening tonight. But for those that are coming in now, just so you know, my name is Timmy Boyle from Upstanding Comedy, and you are watching Calling Comedians in Quarantine. This is episode 24. It has almost been 4 weeks of being in quarantine. We've been calling comics from all around North America, and tonight it is your time with me. Fridays are Q&A with Timmy. This is your chance to ask questions about comedy, life, quarantine, whatever they may be. Some people actually have, I put out a request for questions earlier, and some people had sent me some questions. Whether or not they show up here on the show, I do not know. But they sent me questions ahead of time. So I do have questions, not only that will come from you tonight, but I have questions that have been handed to me that if there happens to be a lull and you guys are like, I don't have any other questions, then I'll go into this nice little list of questions that have been handed to me earlier on in the day. So thank you for those that are joining us tonight. It's Q&A time. So we can either start off with a question from all of you, or I will go into one of the questions that were sent to me earlier in the day from other followers and fans that may or may not be here right now, but I'm not going to wait for them. I'll just ask their questions. Roy, oh man, I've been here for 21. I need to get a life. You've been where for 21? In your bathroom? Or watching this show for 21 episodes? You come in on like episode 3? Oh, you missed a couple good episodes right at the beginning, Roy. For those of you who don't know, Roy is our resident karate expert. He's like a 47-degree black belt or something. It's pretty amazing. Him and I took each other on in his dojo, and we'll just call it a draw, pretty much. So here we go. It's time for questions and answers here with Timmy about comedy, life, whatever. Quite frankly, anything's on the table, but if I don't like the question, I'll just ignore it. But other than that, feel free to ask. Question here. Have you ever completed a Rubik's Cube? Yes. Doing it the fake way, as everybody, I think, did at one point, where you tore it apart, removed the stickers, built it back up with the stickers all, you know, and then there was always that one sticker that you couldn't find, and that was never a good idea. But no, I've never actually finished one, but I did learn how to, wait, do I even have a Rubik's Cube? I do, but I don't have it here on the shelf. But I learned how to do, like, you know, you can get like all the colors, like a dot in the middle, but all the colors are the same around the edges, or the cross pattern. Like, I could do kind of those little cool Rubik's tricks, but I've never actually been able to math. The people who do it in like 30 seconds blindfolded, with like a tiger on their shoulders, I don't know how that's even possible. That's magic. That's mystical. That's sacrificing goats kind of world. Like, I don't know how people do that, but anyways, so no, I've never done that. Roy, I'm sorry for the bruises, my friend. Roy is just saying that he still has the bruises from our showdown in the dojo. The dojo showdo. That's not even a real thing. Crystal's Bunny asks, if you could shrink anything in the world and carry it with you everywhere you go. Wait, I'm reading that horribly wrong. Let me concentrate about this now. If you could shrink anything in the world and carry it with you everywhere you go, what would you shrink? That would imply that it would have to be something super big. If I could shrink anything, I can't think of something, like, I could say like my car, but my car can go everywhere I go anyways. Let me see. That's a darn good question. Okay, here's the thing. On Q&A, you always get like those questions. How did you get started in comedy? Who's your comedic idol? Those type of things. Are you really wearing pants? Those type of questions. But then every once in a while, you get a question like this that completely and utterly is like, that is somebody who is thinking. If you could shrink anything in the world and carry it with you everywhere you go, what would you shrink? I think, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into this, but I would shrink. Darn it, Crystal, you did it. Okay, let's do this. I will shrink the Rogers Center. I'll shrink the Rogers Center. Cause wait, can I inflate it again when I get somewhere? Like, could I shrink the Rogers Center and then open it back up again, and then I could like have the Blue Jays come and play wherever I am? Does that count? Or like if I shrunk it and I just carried it around? Because that would still be a cool piece. And quite frankly, think about it. If I shrunk the Rogers Center, formerly known as the Sky Dome, which is a much better name in general, and then brought it out of my pocket to show people, like say I'm just kind of chilling on an island in the summer, and I'm like, hey guys, look, it's the Rogers Center. They'd be like, that's not the Rogers Center. I'm like, no, like it legitimately is the real Rogers Center. Like, that's mind blowing. Like, I'd have people all around me on the beach constantly, like wanting to chat and stuff like that. So I think just out of pure entertainment value, you could shrink anything, but I would shrink the Rogers Center because that just has so many memories for me. Good question though. I'm not even sure if I'm going to actually think more about that answer, but that's what I'm going with tonight. Roy says that I should shrink Alyssa Milano and make her into a keychain. Roy, that's a good answer. All right, I'm giving a point to Roy. I know this isn't a points game tonight. There's no winners or losers, although there are in life. Understand that. I'm all for winners and losers in life. It happens just the way it all plays out. But that is a good one, Roy. Shrink Alyssa Milano and make her a keychain. Joy says, I think that's the point. You can expand it back. Okay, so if that is the point, that I can take the Rogers Center. Wait, does that mean I can expand Alyssa Milano back once I get in wherever I'm going? I guess so. So that's pretty cool. Crystal's Punny says, okay, seriously, I thought you would have shrank Alyssa Milano. Well, yeah, like that. I wasn't thinking human beings. Because you can take a human being anywhere. Like, I don't want her to be a captive. You know, I don't want to like have her like just kind of stuck, like, you know, so I wasn't thinking that, but that is a good, and that would be kind of cool because if you went through customs though, and they checked your pocket and you had like a human being attached to a keychain, probably a lot of security issues there. A lot of questions. I don't even know if that's probably a good way to travel, because that would raise, it would just raise a lot of eyebrows. Like, number one, why is there a human being attached to his keychain? And number two, why is it Alyssa Milano? And number three, why is she small? That's three, just three questions right there. And then, you know, then every other, it's just, it's a can of worms that just opens up. So maybe I would just shrink her to carry around the neighborhood because there's no security checks as of yet. Here we go. What is your most favorite moment in sports history? My most favorite moment in sports history is two moments. I have a hard time splitting those two up. The first one is Joe Carter hitting the home run to win the 1993 World Series. I was at the dome, that very same dome that I would have shrunk. I wasn't with Alyssa Milano, I was with my sister, and we were down there. And my dad gave me two tickets to sit in the front row of the second deck, right on the first base side, for that night. Now, he's a better man than me. I've said that ever since that moment, because I would have chosen one of my kids to go with me, but he just handed both his tickets over to us. Ended up, Joe Carter hits this historic home run, and I can tell you to this day, I have not sensed as an electric atmosphere as I did that night. Now realize this is, I can hear it in my head when Joe Carter hit the home run, and I can see it and I can feel it. So I'm sitting down here on the second base side. The home run goes that way. So perspective wise, we don't know the ball is going over the wall before the people over here know it's going well. Now, if you listen to the replay, it happens super, super fast. But in those moments, time completely vanishes, and if it's there at all, actually slows down. And I actually could feel and could hear. This place was electric. But you could actually feel and hear the energy go even higher coming around the dome. So from that side, so those people saw it go over the wall. They knew we had just won the World Series. And you felt this wave come right around the dome to where I was and the place he brought. Like, I can sense it. It feels like it takes like a minute. And if I watch the replays, but anyways, that was one of the most electric moments that I have ever experienced in my life. I have never been in an atmosphere like that ever again. Now, that being said, I was at home when I watched Jose Bautista, his bat flip home run in the playoffs in 2015. And I can tell you what, despite the fact that I wasn't there, that was one of the craziest, most exciting inning of baseball. They've even done documentaries just on that inning. Not even Blue Jay fans alone. Baseball recognized that what happened in that inning was amazing. And to end it with that bat flip, that epic bat flip. Here, look. Let me just show you. Let me show you this. Look at this. Okay, look. Look at that. There he is. History is now. Look at that. There's the bat flip. Isn't that awesome? That is super cool. Anyways, so it was a long answer to your questions. Those were two of my most amazing. And then on a personal level, I won five championships with my team, the St. Nick's Knights, playing just rec ball. And that was an amazing time too. What color and style are the invisible pants you are wearing? So if I was wearing pants, which I don't for these shows unless I have a female guest on, just out of respect. Let's say, I would say that they are most likely blue, and they are most likely jeans. I'm just simple that way. I would be wearing jeans. Now, although when I'm in my house, I do tend to like my joggers. And when I go outside, I like my joggers. And when I travel, I like my joggers. So not necessarily, but right now, if I was wearing pants, they're most likely jeans, or they're my really comfy Jay joggers, my gray joggers. Although I have Blue Jay pajama pants, which I could have the man, so many options. But my preference is no pants across the board. If I didn't have to wear pants outside of this house, like if I wasn't going to get arrested and everything, I would wear no pants all the time. I think pants are a useless tool. But anyways, regardless, let me just see here. We got some other people coming through here. That's almost like wearing nothing. Which one, wearing the jeans or wearing the joggers? Although I did have a pair of joggers. I have a new pair of joggers, but I had a pair of joggers that were completely torn up. Like, and I had them since I was, I don't know, I had them for like 30 years or something. I think those are the ones. And I used to wear them to yoga, and I had to start wearing my blue tight short shorts underneath them because, well, you do a downward dog and there's other people behind you. And they were a little bit loose and a little bit see-through, but hey, whatever. I got nice legs. What am I afraid of? Nothing. No purple polka-dotted bell bottoms. No. The purple polka-dotted bell bottoms, that is only for show. I'm not like a crazy freak guy. Well, I guess you would say not wearing pants might fall in that level, but yeah. Those yoga pants are more leg than pant. That is true. That is true. There is you could see way more of my leg, but that was the point. Like, if you're going to yoga with other people, like, what's the point of doing yoga and getting really good calves and which my calves are really good. You should take a look at them and like getting good thighs and stuff. Like who wants to go to yoga and not see the benefit in the people that are bending over in front of you? You want people to see. Like, if you're all completely covered up, then people are just like, well, we don't even know if this is working. So by me wearing those really see-through kind of beaten up 30-year-old jogging pants, which still quite frankly covered everything that needed to be covered, I was really doing a favor to everybody else who was there, because every time I would bend over and do a move, people be like, we see the benefits, we know. And it's kind of, it was an encouraging thing. And so I did it not for me, I did it for them. And so I'm sure now I haven't been able to go for a while. The last year of touring kind of really threw off a lot of my scheduling, but I do yoga here daily at the house, and I don't wear pants there because there's no one to encourage other than myself. But I'm encouraged when I don't wear pants. Anyways, let's see. Any other questions? I'm going to ask one that was sent in here before the show. Let's go with would you rather know how or when you would die? Would I rather know how or when? That's a good question. Would I rather know how or when would I die? I would rather know when I would die. Because then I would know. Because if I knew the day that I was gonna die, I would plan accordingly. I would give up everything that I needed to do, and it was like I know when, and I'm just gonna go do absolutely everything. Now, this should be the way we live our lives in general, quite frankly, and it's what I'm trying to do more and more. But I would want to know that date. It doesn't matter how I die. That means nothing to me. How I die, like, I always wanted to actually die playing baseball, diving for a ball, like in the, like, in the ninth inning, we're up by a run, the bases are loaded, and a guy crushes a ball to the fence, and I go diving out, and I reach out and I grab the ball, and I go head first into the fence, and my neck snaps, and I fall to the ground, but I got the ball in my glove, and they're like, oh my goodness, I think he's dead, but we won, we won. Like, that's how I kind of want to see it. But I would much rather know when. That would be life-changing. That it wouldn't freak me out at all, because I know I'm gonna die. But knowing when, I would radically, if I knew I was going to die 3 days from now, it would radically change my life. If I knew I was gonna die 40 years from now, it would radically change my life. If I knew I was gonna die by being run over by a truck, that would make me fearful almost, because every time I'd walk out of the house, well, not here in Sterling because there's no traffic, but anywhere else, I'd be like going, is this the day? And it would be like, but so knowing when for sure. Okay, serious question. Oh wait, let's see here. Roy says two things that don't lie: 5-year-olds in yoga pants. Very true, Roy. But 5-year-olds do lie. I had a few of them, and now they didn't lie a lot, but and I also believe that lying's good. Well, I shouldn't say that. Anyways, here we go. And my yoga pants don't lie. Either do my hips. My hips don't lie. Little Shakira. My hips don't lie. I don't know what they're telling, but anyways. Serious question, asking for a friend. What is your favorite part of Stranger Things? All right, so I have been challenged by Sean Reynolds, a comedian who was on our tour, on the circuit tour up here in Canada back in January. And as I was telling him about my love for the 80s and of sci-fi and all that stuff, he was like, listen, Timmy, you need to watch Stranger Things. He was almost surprised that I hadn't seen Stranger Things. He basically said, and he said this a couple nights ago when he was on the show here on Calling Comedians in Quarantine, he said, the show literally was made for you. So I will be watching Stranger Things as we head into quarantine here. We've got another 400 plus days of being here in our living rooms. So I'm going to watch that show. So Crystal's Punny, thank you for asking that. I haven't watched it yet, but as soon as I do, I will let you know. In fact, I'm really thinking about having an opportunity for you to watch me watch my first few episodes of Stranger Things, just to get a general reaction from somebody who has never seen that show before, other than that kid with the big hair, kind of a weird looking kid. Anyways, so like in The Natural, Robert Beckham, oh, you're referring to, wait, the guy died in The Natural running into a fence? I don't even remember that. I know he like hit the ball and like broke the light. I didn't know he died though, running into a thing. Anyways, I want to thank everybody who's coming in right now. Just so you know, my name is Timmy Boyle and you are watching episode 24 of Calling Comedians in Quarantine. We have been calling comedians from all around North America and will continue to do so. But Friday nights is just you and I. Friday nights is a time for questions and answers, questions about comedy, life, or whatever. And so this is your opportunity to ask me a question that maybe you've always wanted to ask. Or maybe you just want to ask me a question that you wanted to ask somebody else. And you're like, I can't ask them. So you're just going to ask me and then I'll give you an answer. And then maybe that will satisfy some sort of deep-seated thing in your heart. So here we go. A teammate died. Oh, Robert just told me that a teammate died in the field in the movie The Natural. Oh, that's depressing. Unless that's the way he wanted to go. Because if it was me, people might go, oh, that's so sad, and be like, no, wait, no, he said that's the way he wanted to go, and then there'd be celebration. Anyways, my funeral, regardless, one way or the other, is going to be an amazing celebration. I already have most of it planned. I'm not planning to die till at least I'm 140, so we got a long way to go here, folks. But although it would be still good to know the exact. Anyways, another question here. Can anyone learn to be funny on stage? No. No, they can't. There are a lot of people out there that simply aren't funny. True story. I don't have a true story attached to that. I'm not going to tell you who's not funny, but it's a true story, a true statement. There are simply people out there that no matter what, I think it was, who was it that said, Derek Tennant, comedian who's been on this show, and he also toured up here just this year on the circuit. But he said, that parents, we need to stop saying to our kids, you can be anything you put your mind to, because you can't. There are certain things you can't do due to restrictions of just who you are, height, weight, eyesight, whatever it is. Like, the reality is that no matter how much I tried, I probably was never going to be able to be a Major League Baseball player, because they say that the eyesight of a Major League Baseball player, because I think one of the hardest things to do is to hit a round ball on a round bat and to hit it flush, and to be able to see the spin of the ball and translate that into being able to put the ball where you want it to go, that's amazing at the distance and the speed that it's coming. Anyways, your eyesight needs to be at some like outrageous eyesight level. My eyesight was never going to be there. So even if I had the skills to pick up a baseball and throw a baseball, I couldn't see a fastball. And I can't train myself to be a fastball. I simply couldn't. And I didn't realize that at the time, but there are certain things you can't do. And I think humor is a birthright of sorts. I think some people have it. Now, not everybody can necessarily have the opportunity to take it to the stage, because It's a big risk. I know some people have asked, like, you know, is there money in stand-up? Is there enough to buy a boat for the 1% at the top? Am I able to, you know, get goodbye and do what I love? Yes. But the point is that I believe that I was always funny. I always had a sense of humor. I think there's things, when people say, how do you find that? How do you find your jokes? Where do you find your material from? And right away, I wonder if that person ever is going to be a comedian, because I think there's something internal. When I walk outside or inside or wherever I may be, I see things through a warped lens. I see things in a way that I'll see something and find something incredibly funny and tell that on my next show. And the person I was with goes, I didn't even see what you saw. And I think it's because comedians have this internal thing that's deep within them, that's born in there. Now, you can learn to craft the humor. You can learn to be a better performer through stage time. You can learn writing techniques. There are things that you can do to hone that, but you can't learn to be funny. You can learn to be funnier, but if you're not funny, I'm just sorry. You just, like, find something you're good at. It's kind of like the people on American Idol that are like, I just want to be a singer. And it's like, you know what? There is no shame in not being a good singer. Like, not everybody is awesome at everything like I am. And so it hurts me sometimes when people don't have those skills that they want to do. The goal in life, though, is to find what you are good at and do that well. That's it. There is no ranking. It's not like funnier people are better than musical people or vice versa or anything, or more athletic people. It is just, what are you good at? And go do that. That's it. That's the level. Everyone's gauge is to themselves. Did you do and use your gift as best as you did? And stop trying to be something that you're not, no matter how much you want to be. Crystal's Punny says, you are on Name the Time. Is that a question? Name the Time? I think I'm lost here. I don't know what that means. Name the Time. I don't know what time it is, if that's what you're asking. Thank you, Roy. That is wise counsel. Now Roy, Roy learned karate, or the martial art branch of karate that he does. That's a skill, right? That's a skill. And you can either do that well or not well. You are on Name the Time regarding watching the show. Name the Time. You want me to tell you when I'm going to watch Stranger Things? Is that the question? I don't know, I got a little bit confused there, but because I'm not on Name the Time, I'm on Calling Comedians in Quarantine. That's the name of this show. You have to be a little more clear. Here we go. Referring to the video of you watching your show. Right. I will let you know when I do that. I will let you know. All right. Anyone else have any questions? We will be wrapping up in a little bit, because I actually have, this is super cool. Usually our show only lasts about 30 minutes or so here on Calling Comedians in Quarantine. But tonight at 8:00, I am doing a live show, a full comedy show from my living room for a group up or down in, I guess they're in the Port Hope area. I might be wrong. Coburg area, Oshawa area. I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter, because I'm not leaving my living room. That's the best part. But I'm actually going to be performing. I'm going to have my suit on. My orange juice is going to be there. I'm going to be sitting on my stool. I'm going to have my book out, and I'm going to perform. It is a live show. People are coming. It's a donation-based show. So I might even make a little bit of money. That's right. I get to buy another orange juice along the way. But that's happening tonight, and I'm so excited about that. That's going to be happening at 8:00. So Doug is here, everybody. Doug is the most amazing man this side of me. He is on here. I want to thank that. Robert Beckham has asked, this is your time, by the way, to ask questions. We have time for a few more questions. Favorite baseball movie? It's got to be Major League. The first one is epic. And I still cry at the end when they actually win. Spoiler alert. that movie to me is one of the all-time classics. Now, Bull Durham is great, those type of things. But Major League, I used to watch that on a regular basis, and I would cry every single time. It was so sad that they destroyed. Well, they didn't. You can't destroy the first movie by making others, but you should have just left it there. They should have left it at Major League and not done the other ones, because they didn't even bring back the same characters. They had people playing the same guy, and you just can't. It's so rare that that can be pulled off well. Like, you got to be a Marvel franchise to be able to pull off some of that. And even then, I mean, they could only do it early on when they replaced a couple people, like the Hulk, because the first Hulk was so horrible. But Major League, best baseball movie for sure. Doug is Issa Guelph. Joy is Orono is Issa Guelph. Yes, it is a nice city. I'm not going to actually be there because I'll be in my living room. But that show is happening. I am not wrong, Doug. Sandlot is the only baseball movie. All right, so Doug is slowly falling down the list of my favorite people right now. But that's okay, Doug. You were so high on the list that you could probably throw out a few more Sandlot kind of references, and I'd still have you pretty high up there. All right, here we go. A few more questions to go here. Will you consider doing a CCC episode as Cher? Would I do a Calling Comedians in Quarantine episode as Cher? Yeah, you know what? I'm open for it. I mean, the reality is that this show has taken on a life of its own so many times. My only goal on this show is to have no goal. And we have found ourselves wandering through goat farms and down through the downtown of Nashville and in people's basements and out in at a storage locker unit a couple days ago. I don't know where these shows are going to go. So it is not beyond the possibility that I could sit here one day dressed as Cher. But thank you. For those of you who haven't seen my Sonny and Cher bit, it's a classic. And I can say that because it is. Bull Durham is a great movie. To Robert Beckham was in there, and here's what I tell people. Just because something is picked as the best of something doesn't necessarily negate the incredible value of other movies. Bull Durham is in that upper echelon. Field of Dreams is up there, right? Yeah, Field of Dreams is there. I'm drawing a blank, but pretty much, you know, like you could, but you all have, you can have one best, but Bull Durham is there too. Here we go. If you could leave a piece of advice to a starting comic, what would it be? Don't underestimate how hard this business is. People have said, oh, I want to be a comedian. Look, I fell into this. Doors were open for me. I think I had a good foundation already down. And I'd been on stage. I'd been performing for years in all different capacities, from theaters to theater plays to sketches. I wrote my own plays. I had making my own movies. Even when I was doing youth pastoring and those type of things, I was always up on stage. And that is an element that you can't underestimate. But here's the thing. I would just tell somebody, if you're a new comic and you're trying to start out, do not underestimate how hard this business is. It is a absolute hustle. Now, every once in a while, the small, tiny, tiny percentage of people, like the Jerry Seinfelds, the Bill Cosbys, those people break through, and the hustle creates this kind of like set up for life type of thing. But the reality is that this business is a hustle, and I have a lot of people that come to me and think that they're like, when can I do my 45-minute special? And it's like, you can't even make people laugh for 3 minutes solid yet. Like, make people laugh for 3 minutes, then make people laugh for 4 minutes, then make people laugh for 5 minutes. And people are trying to find, people are trying to find shortcuts for everything in our world. And comedy is no different. You know, it is one of those things that there is no shortcut. You got to put in the time. And it may not always be done in the realm of comedy. Like I said, I put in years of performance on stage prior to becoming a comedian. So that helped my growth curve. But I had been putting in years of work and developing a very crucial skill set of being a stand-up comic, and that's stage performance. There's a lot of good writers out there that can't get on stage and do it. And if they started now, it would take them 10 years to even be comfortable on stage to do their good material. Those people become writers and hand them off to people who are already good on stage. So if you are a new comic, don't underestimate how hard this is going to be, and do not underestimate how long the journey might take. You're not doing this for the money, I'll tell you that. You're doing it because you love making people laugh, and it's in you. I can't not do things that are funny. I'm not always funny all the time, but it is in me. And if you know it's in you, you have that sense of humor, you have that gift, then get on the ride. It's a tremendous ride. It's incredibly frustrating and incredibly exhilarating at the same time. But don't underestimate how hard it is. Here we go. We are getting ready to close off this show. As Cher, you still wouldn't be wearing pants, so all is good. That is very true. CJ, correct. Stand-up comedy is not for the faint of heart. It has a lot of people have... The very fact that I have been doing this full-time for over a decade, and I'm not swimming in money, but I can tell you what, the very fact that this is my job is a true and an utter blessing. We are getting ready to close off the show here. Thank you so much, Crystal's Punny, for your love and for your support. Appreciate that. Williamson 523, you've been making me laugh for 30 years, my friend. You are funny. Thank you. I'm assuming just because of, I don't know who's who on in terms of the names on here, but I'm assuming that's Ben. My friend Ben, I'm assuming, unless it's someone else from the Williamson family. But Ben, if it is Ben, we had a lot of great times together, and I'm glad I've been a part about giving him the gift of laughter, because I think it's one of the most tremendous gifts. Ben, you made me laugh. You were one of the funniest guys I knew growing up, and hopefully we can get together soon. Roy, thank you. I do believe it's naturally in me, but I do work hard at it, so I appreciate that you appreciate what I do. And it is Ben. All right. It's been confirmed. It is Ben. Love you, man. Listen, thank you all for tuning in tonight. So many people in here. Ben's been here. Heidi's been here. Roy's been here. Crystal, CJ, Robert, Doug, Joy, Paul, Megan, the list goes on and on and on. Thank you so much. I have no idea who, I probably missed people. Those are the ones that I recognized and kind of saw coming in. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This was episode 24 of Calling Comedians Into Quarantine. Every single night at 7 p.m. here on Instagram, we will be running this show. We got a great lineup of comics coming through here. Not sure what we're going to do on Sunday. Being Easter Sunday, we might take the evening off. There were a couple comics who were interested but couldn't do it due to family and Easter stuff. So we might actually take one break on that, which isn't bad after doing 3.5 weeks solid of this show. But tomorrow night for sure we'll be here, and Monday night we'll be here. I would just encourage you to follow me here at The Real Timmy Boyle on Instagram. Just Google Timmy Boyle. Quite frankly, you'll find everything you need. Timmy Boyle, upstandingcomedy.ca. But definitely follow me here, and go over to YouTube at Timmy's Shorts. You want to subscribe and like to that channel, because all of the episodes that have been on so far and the episodes to come, they will all ultimately find their home there. I am in the process of trying to upload them all, and I'm not very good at it all, and it's taking me a little bit more time. But Timmy's Shorts on YouTube, subscribe to that, and you'll be able to catch up on the journey that we've had. It's been an incredible ride. I will see you tomorrow night, though, 7 p.m. here on Instagram Live, and we'll have another comedian that I will be calling from their living room. So tonight, until then, from my living room until you, right into your living room, I would just say this: stay well, keep on laughing, and for goodness sake, remember, your brain, it's for thinking, not for eating. So just say no to zombies. Have a great Easter weekend, folks, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow night. Cheers.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Calling Comedians Inca Quarantine. Please take a moment to like, share, subscribe, and ring the little bell so you and your friends don't miss any of the laughs. Episodes will be uploaded here at Timmy's Shorts daily until I run out. And be sure to check out the description below for links to connect with myself or my guests on social media, support us by buying merchandise, and also download the podcast version of this show. Until next time, remember, your brain, it's for thinking, not for eating. So just say no to zombies. My name's Timmy Boyle.